So now that we're entering, after several weeks, we enter into the world of Kli Rishon Kli Sheni. We started Al Seder Shulchan Aruch, which, as we'll see in a moment, is also Al Seder Perek Kira. We began with Bishul Dachama and Bishul Ba'ur, and then we moved from there to several stages of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Now that we move to Siftef and on, the world of Kli Rishon Kli Sheni, we're really, in many senses, entering into the heart of Meleches Bishul. And not only Meleches Bishul in terms of Hilchas Shabbos, but Kli Rishon Kli Sheni, more so than the topics we've covered so far, are central to other areas of Halacha, even beyond the Bishul, potentially even beyond the Bishul. So maybe now is a good moment to just to open today's Chabura by taking a step back and just sort of overviewing the first four and a half blot of Perakira, which are really the heartland and the central locus of Meleches Bishul. Just to orient ourselves, and then we'll dive in to the sugya. The Perak begins. You see, really the first six blot. So from Lamed Vav to Lamed Ches, from Lamed Vav and Beis, Lamed Ches and Beis is concerned with the Gzeres Drabanan, the Dinim Drabanan of Al Gabi Ha'esh, Shehiya, Hachazara, and so on and so forth. And we've made reference to them. Hopefully we'll have a chance later in the year to deal with them directly. And then the Mishnah Lamed Ches Lamed Beis and the Gemara Lamed Ches Lamed Aleph, as we saw, that's the sugya of Bishul Bechama, and we're going to return presently to a Tosus on Lamed Ches Lamed Aleph. There's a lot to say about Kli Rishon Kli Sheni and Iwi. And then Lamed Ches Lamed Beis, until the top of Mem Lamed Beis, is again off, away from Kor Meleches Bishul. Lamed Ches Lamed Beis until the top of Mem Lamed Beis is the Issa Drabanan of Rechitza B'Shabbos, important, but separate, and may perhaps Exera to Bishul, but separate from the Malach of Bishul. Then, much of the Gemara Mem Lamed Beis is back in the world. This is the second time we come to the world of Melech HaShabbos. Many dinim of Melech HaMei, Kor Yisodos of Melech HaShabbos are here. For now, this is one of the places where the Gemara directly formulates the Kli Sheni Einu Mevashel on the bottom of Mem Lamed Beis, and we'll come back to the discussion with Yatz Ledesbo as well. Mem Aleph Amar Aleph is in this zigzag, Memalf Amenalf is again not Meleches Bishul. Memalf Amenalf is a variety of other dinim about Tzar Zahav Atala, about moving from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. The bottom of Memalf Amenalf, swinging on to Memalf Amenbeis, Memalf Amenalf, that we'll get to Mirth Hashem. Those are in the Marma Kamos for later, for Se'ifim Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. And then finally, we come to the Mishnah on Mem Beis Amud Aleph, onto the Gemara Mem Beis, and that's really our starting point. Kli Rishon Kli Sheni, as you saw, shows up in all three Bishul segments on Lamed Ches, on Amud Aleph, on Mem Beis, and here on Daf Mem Beis, and that's the first six blot of Perek Kira, this zigzag between the dinim of Meleches Bishul and the associated Zeris and other dinim. From Mem Beis Amud Beis and on, from the Mishnah Mem Beis Amud Beis and on, the rest of the parak is not about Bishul whatsoever. The rest of the parak is really largely about the dinim of Muktzah. Again, very important dinim, but not our topic right now. But we will be talking about Mem Beis and Mem and Lamed Ches. So the Mishnah, we had begun the Zman talking about Bishul and the four Mishnayos. So this is one of the four Mishnayos in the Masechta that deals with Bishul. And the Yisod of the Mishnah Mem Beis is that we differentiate, again, as we said, the Gemara says it explicitly, Amem Amud Beis, Amaram formulated abstractly as a principle, Kli Sheni Einu Mevashel, it's already expressed through case law in the Mishnah Mem Beis. Ilfas Hakaderik Shavrim were talking Loitain Tachla Tavlin. You can't put the tavlin, you can't put spices into bay leaves, perhaps, into a pot that was taken off of the fire, but you can't put it l'toch hakara or l'toch atamchi. And Rashi says, because klisheni ain't a mevashel. Kili sheni ain't a mevashel, and as the Gemara points out on Mem Amid Beis, hachamayaskinan, Gemara seems to say Mem Amid Beis, hachamayaskinan, that's Yad Saletas, but we'll have to get later on, a couple of weeks, we'll have to talk about, probably after Purim, by the definition, what exactly, what does that correspond to in degrees? But Yad Saletas Bo is the definition of hot, both in Bishul and elsewhere in Halacha. And you open Shulchan Aruch to Se'if Tes. Again, we left off last week with Se'if Hey. Se'if Vav, Zayin, Ches. Are concerned with the dinim drabanan of al gabi ha'esh. And here we come back to shin yud ches sif tes. Shulchan Aruch says, that the kli rishon afil achshir avim me'al ha'esh mevashal calls man she'ad shaletas bo, and that's why you cannot put in tavlin. That's why you cannot put in tavlin. So it's a clear issue in Shalom al Gabi Aish. Leaving aside the issues of Drabanans of al Gabi Aish, even if Shalom al Gabi Aish, there still can be, if there is a concern of Bishul, so there can be Bishul and clear issue even if it's off the fire. That's Beferish in the Mishnah. And then the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah go on to talk about the question of salt. We'll get to salt soon, but first a word or two about the core. Number one, in terms of the Yad Saletas Bo, so the Shulchan Aruch is pretty clear that there's no Bishul if there's no Yad Saletas Bo. The Magen Avraham does raise a Yerushalmi that sounds like there may be some sort of Gezeira Durabanan in a kli Rishon. Even if it's any outside of bow, you can't put food into a kli rishon. It sounds like a gzeira because often the kli rishon is yad saletas bow. So the Magen Avraham points out that maybe a machlok is bavli Yerushalmi, and maybe we should be machmir not to put food into a kli rishon. Doesn't come up that often. A kli rishon which cooled down. Okay, I want to pour things into. I took the pot of soup off the fire. I took the chalon pot off, and now it's on the counter, or it's on the trivet, and it's cooling down. So eventually, it's there long enough that below ya it's warm, but it's below ya it's a lettuce bow. Can I put uncooked food in? Cooked food of Adiz Mutter, it's in Bishul Achar Bishul. Can I put in uncooked food? Can I put in, we're machmer for Yesh Bishul Achar Afia? Can I drop in bread? Okay. So Magen Avraham is Metzadid, maybe we should be machmer. The Gran, others think that it's a mistaken understanding of the Yerushalmi, a complicated Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi is the other language. The Chasam Sof already points out. Yerushalmi talks about Yad Sholetes Bo. Is that the same as En Yad Soletes Bo? Sholetes? I'll think about that some more. But Alpi Pashtus, we pass in like the Shulchan Aruch and the Gra, that even a Klevishan is only Bishul when it's Yad Soletes Bo. Now, in the other direction, there is an interesting machlokas. There is an interesting machlokas harishonim. Is Yad Soletas Bo enough to drive Bishul? You saw the Beis Yosef quotes a Hagos Mordechai. Hagos Mordechai says, Hagos Mordechai says maybe even a kli rishon, it's really only soon after you take it off the fire. Right after you take it off the fire, it's still really, really hot. So then it's mevashal. But once it begins to cool off more, sounds like perhaps even if it's still yad saletas bo, but once it begins to cool off significantly, maybe it's no longer mevashal. And he seems to understand that is the difference between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. That's so the core question here is why do we differentiate between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni? So as you saw, Tosfos Membeis raises that question. Excuse me, not Membeis. Tosfos on Mem Membeis raises that question. And Tosfos says, I don't understand why we differentiate between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. The Gemara formulates explicitly in Mem Membeis that Kli Sheni and Mevashel. Why does it matter? Kli Rishon, either it's Yatzal and Hezbo, it's not Yatzal and Hezbo. If it's Yatzal and Hezbo, it's Mevashel even a Kli Sheni. It's not Yatzal and Hezbo, it's Mevashel even in a Kli Rishon. Agos Mordechai Taka does sound like there isn't really a difference between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni per se. It's really usually a Kli Rishon is going to be hotter, and a Kli Sheni will be cooler. But in a Chanam, if you have a hot Kli Sheni, it's not a problem. If you have a cooler Kli Rishon, it's not a problem. Take a look, the Mari Kurkas also in Hilchas Masa Parakeh addresses a similar type of idea. But Tosfos rejects it. Tosfos rejects it. And Tosfos says that, interesting svar. Tosfos says that there is a difference. Yesh lomar, because Kli Rishon mitosha amar al ha'ur. The Kli Rishon means the pot that had been on the fire. A pot in which things had been warmed up. It hasn't been moved out yet. You haven't yet moved it from the pot to the bowl. So Tosfos says, as you saw, Tosfos says that the Kli Rishon is going to stay hot for a long time because the walls themselves are hot. The Kli is hot. So that's why we say, as long as Yatzal Hezbo is Aser. But the Kli Sheni is Defanos Makaros. Kli Sheni, the food right now is hot, but it's in a cool Kli. So the temperature is going to drop more quickly. For the calculus minded in the room, then Tosfos seems to be saying we care not about temperature, about the first derivative of temperature. As we care not only, in layman's language, not only about what the temperature of the food in the Kli is right now, but how quickly is it dropping. Obviously, as soon as you take it off the heat source, even if it's a Kli Rishon, Kozma's al-gabe'esh, the fire is continuing to pour heat into the pot. Once you take it off the heat source, you put it on the side, you put it on a trivet, you put it on a counter, so it's going to begin to cool down. That's basic thermodynamics, but how quickly is it cooling down? In the Kli Rishon, the hot food is in contact with the hot pot, so it's going to cool down more slowly. Masha Eino Kane, the hot food that's been transferred to Kli Sheni, once I move the soup from the soup pot to a bowl, so now it's in a cool bowl. The soup is heating up the bowl while the bowl is cooling down the soup. So even if, in theory, you have soup that's the same as above Yatzal Hezbo in a soup bowl, but it's above Yatzal Hezbo, but the temperature is dropping. So that's not going to create Bishul. That's not going to create Bishul. You look at the Magen Avraham quote, Beis Yosef quotes some of this, the Magen Avraham, Sivkat Yud Beis, points out, he says it's arrived from the Mishnah. What he means is it's arrived from Rashi on the Mishnah. He goes on to quote Rashi, he says the Mishnah, and then he quotes Rashi. I take the boiling pot off the fire, I cannot put the tavla in it. So Rashi translates that, the Baal Mamez of Aleph, Havir and Mirutachan, Bein Ashmashos, Lo Yitin Lesochan Tavlin Misha Techshach. I took it off earlier. I took it, there was no blach on the fire, so I had to take it off Bein Ashmashos, if not before Shkia. Later on Shabbos, I'm ready to eat the food. That's what Rashi sounds like. Later, after dark, I can't put the Tavlin in. Because as long as it's hot, So Magen Avraham understands that means that as long as it's hot, even though it was taken off a while ago. So we have Rashi lining up with Tosfos. That the idea that as long as it's above Yatzal Hezbo, the Kli Rishon is going to be Mevashel. unlike a klisheni, which is not mavashal, even if it is above. Yes, yeah, so, but again, the lumdus is that we care both about the present temperature as well as how rapidly the temperature is trending downwards. In order to have bishul, you have to have both. That's how Tosis is explained. You have to have a temperature that's above Yatzalera's bow at the moment and is dropping only gradually. But if it's already below Yatzalera's bow, so that's certainly the Bavli and the Mechaber assume that if it's below Yatzalera's bow, even a Kli Rishon, there's no Bishol, as we said before. No Bishol, and it's not even Issa Drabanan. Yerushalmi perhaps disagrees. And if it's a Kli Sheni, even if it's above Yatzalera's bow, but Tosa says it's above Yatzalera's bow, but Defanos Makaros, it's not in a stable, it's not a stable heat. It's a very unstable heat, it's a very temporary heat. So that's not Mavashuk. And that is the position of Tosus, and according to the Magen Avraham Rashi, against the Hagos Mordechai and the Mahari Kurkus on the bottom of the Rambam, Hilchos Maaser Perakei. Okay, so that's the simple, that's how the dinim appear to be. Yesh Bishul B'Kli Rishon, even Shlo Agave Esh, Ain Bishul B'Kli Sheni. Why is a good question? Does it have to do with the heat? Or does it, or the way we seem to assume, has to do with the combination of present heat plus a lack of defanus makaris. Yeah, Sage.
So, how did the Hagos Mordechai Mahari Kurkus read the whole sugya? Meaning they just think those are just all, every case is talking about a common example, but in a Hanami, that if we're really dealing with the
yeah, so yeah, look, we know from experience. Typically, the soup, you bring the you bring soup to the table in a bowl. It's gonna be 9 times out of 10 cooler than if you were than the soup that's still in the pot, because the defanos makaros. So, but you can have a situation again. You have really, really like the soup was bubbling, and then you put it into klisheni straight out of the pot, and 10 seconds later, it's still going to be very, very hot. So, Tosa says, doesn't matter. Klisheni and Mavashal. That's a rule. Why is it a rule? Because the final is Makar. Because Mordechai says, no, it's not a rule, it's a rule of thumb. It's not a separate halachic category. In general, the Klisheni is cooler. In general, the Klishen is hotter. If we would stop here, so it would sound relatively simple. Again, okay, a difference between Hagos Mordechai and Tosas, but relatively simple. Yeah.
For Tosas, even if the Klisheni is at Soledad's bow, it's totally fine.
Yeah. Or so it seems. Until you start to look at it begins with the Hemshech HaGemara. The Hemshech HaGemara and Daf Mem Beis. As you saw, the Gemara has a discussion. The second issue the Gemara raises is about salt. What's the status of salt? What's the status of salt? The Gemara says, Rav Yosef thought that salt is like tavlin, cooks in a klirisha, but not a klisheni. Abaye says, Rav Chiya said it cooks even a klisheni. Rav Nachman said it does not cook even a klirisha. And then the Gemara has the Ikid Amri. So you end up with three shitos about the salt. You end up with three shitos about the salt. Two that stand lahalacha. Rav Yosef, both versions Rav Yosef is rejected to say that salt is like tavlin. The Mishnah tells us that tavlin is misbasha b'kli rishna but not b'kli sheni. So Rav Yosef is definitely rejected. The question is the first lashon is the machlokas Rav Chiya Rav Nachman, whether it is extra kal or extra chamor. And in the second lashon, everyone agrees that it's extra kal. Again, extra chamor would mean it does cook even a klisheni. Extra kal would mean it does not cook even a klirishon, just like bisra datura, just like beef. It's important to point out. What that means is it doesn't cook in a kli rishon shalo al gabe esh. Obviously, you can violate bishul on meat, but the point is you're not going to violate bishul. You take a raw steak and you stick it, you take the chicken soup off the fire and it's on the counter, you stick in the meat. You can leave the meat there for an hour, it's not going to cook. Meat needs serious, sustained heat from an ongoing heat source. There is bishul and slianit, but only when it's al gabei hesh. So that's three quarters, so to speak, of the opinions of the Gemara. Assume that salt is like meat. It does not lend itself to heat, to bishul easily. But the Gemara also did mention, a possibility that melach should be mizbashel even bi kli sheni. So that's the first interesting chink in the armor. That maybe there could be bishul and kli sheni sometimes for some things. And the interesting machloka is whether that's true for salt or not. And essentially, that becomes a source for a notion of kalei habishul. Maybe there are things that cook more easily, and there are things that can cook in a kli sheni. Whether melach is a member of that category or of the opposite category, that's the machlokas. And even Shulchan Aruch, the pashas of the Gemara is that we should assume that halachil, the second lashon, in the first lashon it's the machlokas amaram, the second lashon everyone agrees. So that's why you see in. That's why the Mechaber says, based on the Bali Atosvos, the Mechaber says that it's not Mizbashel, even a Klivishna Shalagab Eish. And then the Ramah says, Yesh Omrim to be Machmir, that salt is Kali Abishel, Machmir Tavo Olav Brach. Machmir Tavo Olav Brach. Okay, and the Ramah is a footnote that you're not going to have a. It's not salting a pot of food is definitely not going to make the food usser, even if you violated bishul and the salt. Even Mash added salt al gabi ha'esh, which is clearly there is, but I want to be to that. There's bishul of salt al gabi ha'esh, just like bishul datura. But the food is all won't become usser because the dominant food is the food that was already there from before, and you only violate bishul on the bits of salt. It doesn't usser the food in terms of meiser shabbos. Okay, but in terms of the core bishul question. So we have a machlokas in the Gemara, and a machlokas had a paskin. Mikra din, salt is not mizbashel b'klisheni. Ramah suggests, based on the approach of Balatosis, that it's a worthy chumrah. Ha'mach mertav al brach, yeah, mechuyiv to, but it's a worthy. Mikra din, you can add salt to your soup. And if you want to be machmir, it's a meaningful chumrah. It's not a meaningless chumrah to avoid salting the soup in the klisheni. This also opens a Pandora's box, even if salt is not Kali Abishal, but maybe the concept is out there. Maybe the concept is out there. And that had come up, you'll remember, as a side point, as if, hey, the Yireim about putting the challah into the soup, said, well, even the klisheni, you got to be worried because not only Yesh Bishal Acharafia, and therefore, if you put this, drop the challah into the soup pot, into the kli rishon, is going to be bishul. But even in the soup bowl, it's a kali abishul. The Yireim is saying the bread is cast in the model of salt, of the havamina of salt, of that sheet of salt. So that's one place where bishul b'kli sheni comes up. That's important to understand, important to clarify, is a different source for being concerned with bishul b'kli sheni, or I should say, putting raw food into a kli sheni. That's a machlokas tosis and rashba on lamed tes amud aleph. It's important to recognize that these are two separate sources and two different sets of logic for being concerned with putting raw food into a, or baked food, for that matter, into a kli sheni. Kali Abishal is rooted in Membez Amabez, the sugi of Melach. Tosfos on Lamates Amad Aleph raises a question. The Gemara here, this takes us back to the very beginning. The Gemara here on Lamates Amad Aleph had quoted the Mishnah Kufim Hei Amabez, which is a source for Ein Bishal Achar Bishal. That's why the Shulchan Aruch had moved from Bishal Dachama, which is the Mishnah Lamad Ches, to Ein Bishal Achar Bishal, which is quoted in the Gemara and Lama Tess. And only now are we coming to Klirishin Klisheni, which is Mem and Mem Beis, Al Seder HaGemara. So here this Mishnah, Kal Shabbat V'cham L'fnei Shabbos, Shor Nosa V'cham B'Shabbos. Remember that? So if the food's already cooked before Shabbos, so then you can soak it in hot water on Shabbos. You can take the cooked food and put it back into the hot water. Ein bishul achar bishul. The loba v'chamer lufnei Shabbos. But let's say you have food which is raw. It was not put in hot water before Shabbos. I have raw food. What can I do with it on Shabbos? So the Mishnah says you cannot be shor, you cannot soak, but you can be mediach. You can rinse it. You can rinse it. So what does that mean? I have raw food. Raw food. I'm not saying in Bishrach HaBishol, it's raw food. That's why I can't stick it in the hot water. But I can rinse it with hot, pour the hot water on the food. What does that mean? What does that mean? So it sounds like, offhand, what would you say? Well, that means that I can't put raw food into a pot of hot water, but I can pour from the pot onto the food. What's the logic in that? Well, that's saying that to put the raw food in the klirisha, that's bishul. But to pour from the klirisha on the food, not bishul. But pouring from the klirisha onto the food, what do we call that? We call that ira klirisha. If I pour the hot water, I pour the soup from the pot into the bowl, and then I want to put challah into the bowl, at that point, once the soup lands in the bowl, it's a klisheni. But if the soup is pouring out of the klirisha and directly hitting some raw food, that's iri klirisha. That's an in-between state. Iri klirisha, is that klirisha, is that klisheni, or is that somewhere in between? That's a big machlokas harishonim. It's a big machlokas harishonim, and big in the sense of long tosasim. There's a long tosos on the top of Membeis. It has this discussion. The Rashbam, one of Rashi's older grandchildren, held that Ira is Kiklisheni. It's not Kikli Rishon. Rabbeinu Tam, the Rashbam's younger brother, held, no, Ira is Kikli Rishon. Machlokas brothers. Is Ira Kiklisheni or is Ira Kikli Rishon? And Tosas in Shabbos presents the Re instead of Rabbeinu Tam. The Re was one of Rabbeinu Tam's prime Talmidim. He was, according to Chaim Soloveitchik, the primary French Talmud. I mentioned this earlier, I think. Yerayim, he understands the primary German Talmud, Rabbeinu Tam, and the Re was the primary French Talmud, Rabbeinu Tam. So the Rabbeinu Tam and the Re held the Iru Kikli Rishon. And Rashbam holds the Iru Kikli Sheni. The Tosis here tells you there's a Raya from a Gemara in Zvachim. That's Rabbeinu Tam's right. Look in Tosis and Zvachim, Daf Tzadi Hei Rabbeinu Tam. The Gemara has a Gzeres HaKasuv. In terms of kashering the kalim in which kutchim were cooked, I shared to Ushalbo. So the Gemara is a drasha that not only is there that does a din of kalim that had bliya of kutchim, not only does it apply to the kli you cooked it in, but even to the kli into which you were ma'ara. It says, Mavish, beferish a Gemara, drasha sabsukim. Irui is the same as kli rishon. It's a gzeres hakasim. It's Xeris HaKasim. Perhaps the clearest tosis about this might be the tosis in Avodah Zarah. In Avodah Zarah, Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. Which to the tosis at the end of the tosis in Shabbos Ben Beis, they send you to Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. The Gemara there is talking about a different context. I want a kasher, I have kalim that were used, a wine press. I buy a wine press from a nachri. We're going to convert a non-kosher winery into a kosher winery. So the halachas of non-Jewish wine are the primary topic of the last two prakim of Sechas of Avodah Zarah. Sechas of Avodah Zarah has five prakim. The first parak and a half, parak aleph and parak beis, have to do the halachas of... The first two prakim of the Masechta are halachas that govern interacting with non-Jews, into business interactions with non-Jews, items you buy from a non-Jew. We saw that Bishul Hakam is in the second parak of Avodah Zarah. And then the third parak, and beginning of the fourth parak, have to do with actual Avodah Zarah, not the issue of worshiping Avodah Zarah, but the halachas that govern items shall have avodah zarah. And then the second half of the fourth parak and the fifth parak largely deal, go back to sort of the interactions with Nachrim, but specifically with the focus, these last parak and a half, on Yain Akum. There's so much to say about Yain Akum, so that's the latter half of the fourth parak and the bulk of the fifth parak. The end of the fifth parak, hopefully we'll get to in coming next year. End of the fifth parak is about Tfilas Kalim, we touched on that a little bit. Tfilas Kalim, Hechsher Kalim. So Ayin Daf Ayin Dalid, this is near the end of the Yain Sugyas. So the Gemara wants to know, how do you kosher a non-Jewish winery? So the Gemara, yeah, it's tremendous. Tremendous equipment, something's built into the ground. You're not going to take it and stick it into a kashering pot. So Gemara says, Nava Artuchu. Gemara says, Rava said, boil up a pot of water. It sounds like boil up big pots of water and pour them into the winery, into various parts of the wine pit, various pieces, large pieces of equipment. And that's how you're going to kasher the clay hayayin. So Balaam Tam said, what do you see? You see that Iroi Kikli Rishon. Because here you have Kabolo Kachpolto. Here you have the Kli Rishon. It became treif. This is where the wine had been. It became treif here. This is the Kli Rishon. You're kashering it by doing merely Iroi. How does that work? Unless, Rabbi Tam says clearly, once again, we're equating Iroi Kli Rishon, Iroi from the Kli Rishon, with Kli Rishon itself. That's the position of Bayon Tam. And the Rashbam said, little brother, that's not a good raya whatsoever. The winery doesn't need as intense a kashering because you didn't heat the wine in the wine pit. It just sat there. It soaked there. It was kavush. But it was never nisbashel there. That's why Iroi is enough. That's not a true Kli Rishon. It just soaked there cold. If you mamish have a pot that you cook tart tray for soup in, then Rashbam says it will not suffice to pour hot water into the pot. You have to actually dunk the pot. You have to have the hagola in a kli rishon mamish. So that's the machlokas. Again, other rishonim get involved as well. But it's famous as the machlokas of the brothers. Rashbam holds iruke kli sheni, and Ben Tam and his Talmud and nephew the Ri, who held irui ki kli rishon. You look in the Hagos Morachai, quotes more in the Rashbam. They quote more. The Rashba, excuse me. The Rashba quotes that Rashi held Iroi Kikli Rishon, like Rabbi Yonatan Tam. They quote Hagos Morachai, quotes more. Some Gaonim who held this way, the Rashba holds. Some Gaonim held the other way. It seems like it's an ancient Machlokes, Rei Machlokes HaGaonim, but famous. Atosis made it famous as the Machlokas, Rashbam, and Rabbeinu Tam. So why do I talk about this? Now it's an important piece of Kli Rishon Kli Sheni, but even if we weren't necessarily up to it, we're up to it because Tosis and Lamates, this is the background for Tosis to introduce another source of being concerned with Kli Sheni. How? Because again, we come back to Kuf Memhei, the Mishnah Kuf Memheim Beis quoted in the Gemara Lama Test Amud Aleph. Again, the Mishnah had said that what? That you can put cooked or already cooked food in Bishlach HaBishli, you can put it back into hot water on Shabbos. If it's not already cooked, if it's raw, you can't put it into Chalila, don't put it into hot water on Shabbos, that would be an act of Bishl, but you can do Hadachar. You can rinse, sometimes you can take the hot water and pour it onto the food. What does that tell you? What does that tell you about Yerud? Tells the Iroi Kikli Sheni, right? So for Rashbam, Galdik, Iroi Kikli Sheni. Rabbi Tam, this is very difficult. It's nice that I had a riot from Avodah Zarah and at Bryson Zvachim, but I've been fairish a Mishnah and Shabbos against me. The Mishnah says you can't do Sharia, but you can do Hadachah. Raw food, I'm allowed to do Iroi Kikli Rishon onto raw food. Be fairish the Iroi Kikli Sheni. The Feirish that here is Kikli Sheni. So Tosis raises this. They say, if you were to hold that here is Kikli Sheni, Galdik. But if you hold like a man on top, what are you going to say? What are you going to do? So Tosfos has two answers. Tosfos has two answers. The second answer is if you're madchik in the lashon, everything works out well. No chidush edinim. And the second answer that when we say medicha really just a way of saying klisheni. Whether you're pouring from the klisheni or you're putting it into the klisheni, medicha literally would mean pouring from the klisheni. But and then the Rashba seems to say something similar. The Rashba says bepashtos. The Rashbah here in Lamatez Simon Aleph. And he says, put hadacha means to rinse it in a klisheni. Pour the water to klisheni, and then put the food in there and rinse it. And he says it as a davar pashut. However, the first day in Tosfos begins by calling the Ri, who said, it cannot be that the Ri assumes hadacha means you're pouring it from the Sharia pot. It cannot be that you're pouring from a Kli Rishon, because even Kli Rishon is also a problem. It must be, therefore, you're pouring from a Kli Sheni. Meaning, if I have raw food, I cannot pour from a Kli Sheni. I may pour from a Kli Sheni onto it, but I cannot put the food into the Kli Sheni. Wow. In other words, let's recap. The position of Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri on Iroi, namely that Iroi is Kli Rishon, led the Ri and other Rishonim to be bothered. How do you understand the Mishnah Kuf Mem Hei, quoting Daf Lamed Tes? There are other solutions. You could have read Hadacha to mean Klisheni, as the Rashba does, and more or less as the second day in Tosis does. But it led the Ri instead to come up with a massive Chiddush, which is that you're not allowed to put, that the Mishnah must be talking about a Klisheni. And saying raw food, you can do Iroi from a Klisheni onto raw food, but you cannot put raw food, forget about it, can't put raw food into Kli Rishon, you cannot put raw food even into a Kli Sheni. Mechzi kemevasho. Wow. So he says, this Misha Kufim Hei taught me a new din, it's usher to put food into raw food even to Kli Sheni. Midrabanan. Mechzi kemevasho. Presumably he means a Midrabanan. The rabbi points out, well, we even have a Mishnah Membez that says Kli Sheni is mutter. That's how he started. He says, well, different types of food. There's no mechzi kemevasho on tavlin. Tosis gives a somewhat mysterious answer. Shehein asuyin lemateikas hakedera. They're there to sweeten, to season the pot. Below mechzi kemevasho. And therefore, it's not mechzi kemevasho. Wow. So what do we have? Now let's recap even more. He started by saying Kli Rishon Mevashel, Kli Sheni and Mevashel. It's a Mishnah Membez, that Beferish Gemara abstractly stated Kli Sheni and Mevashel and Daf Mem Membez. However, we now see that there seem to be two zones of pushback. There's the sugya of Melach a Membez, that some foods would cook even a Kli Sheni. Not on the other hand, some foods are very hardy and would not cook even a Kli Rishon Shal Gabe Eish. So that's the concept of Kali Abishal that the Uraim and others pick up on. And then you have the Ri on Daf Lamed Tes, who understands not from the Gemara of Melach and Membez, but from the Mishnah of Kol Shelo Babacham and Medichin, but not Shorin, that means you cannot be Shorin in a Kli Sheni. And that means, once again, we're dividing foods into two categories. There's Tavlin, which are Suin Lamatekes Akadera, versus other things. Wow. And so how we put it now this question of Mechzik and Mevashel is Mechol because we've shown him. Like the second day, the Ri came up with this big chiddush, the massive chiddush. The cliche is not Mevashel well, but it sort of is. And the second day in Tosas had a different teretz to the Kasha. The Rashba took it to Dover Pashat. The Hadacha means in a Klisheni. The border is in a Klisheni. Nothing to do with the Iru. We're not talking about Iru whatsoever, the Rashba said. The whole thing is irrelevant. As a Dover Pashat. The Rashba clearly is not worried about Mechzik and Mevashel. This idea of Mechzik and Mevashel is a big machal that we showed him. Halacha lema'asa, the Magen Avraham does quote it twice. The Magen Avraham does quote it twice. Earlier in Sif Dalet and in Sif Hey. Sif Dalet, when we said, Dav Yavishon is Bashal, Ein Shor Nosu B'Chan B'Shabbos, but Medichin also. So that's this Mishnah Kuf Mem Hei, according to Aflam Ates. So the Magen Avraham there comments, and we possibly like that he assumes as a Davar Pashut like the Ri, that there is a concern Mechzikim Mabashut. If you have a solid food that you're going to eat, if it's raw, you cannot even stick it into a Kli Sheni. And then he says, but it only applies if it's not tavlin, if it's not asilamatik, and if it's not a liquid, because again, that's the sugya memalef that's discussed here in Shulchan Aruch in Seifim Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. It's clear, and that's the sugya memalef Beis also. When you're dealing with liquids, with water, with oil, there's no bishul klisheni whatsoever. So the Magen Avraham does accept this idea of mechzi kemevashel. He also understands that that's not only does he raise it in Sif Dalet when they quote the Mishnah about Shorin versus Medichin, the Magen Avraham also, that's in Sif Kat and Tes Vav, but later in Sif Hey, in the discussion of bread, Afiyach or Bishol, in Sif Kat and Yotes, the Magen Avraham quotes it, he understands that that's the machlokas. You remember the Machaber and Ramah and the Machlokas, can I put the bread into a klisheni? One Machlokas was maybe I should reject the Urayim, Lagamre, I should say Ein Afia Acher Bishol, like the Urayim's Talmud, the Rav Yah. But the Shulchan Aruch said, even if you're going to accept that there is a concern of a Bishol Acher Afia, even if you are wearing a Bishol Acher Afia, but still, is it even a klisheni or only a Kli Rishon? Can I just not, I mean, only forbidden to drop the challah into the soup pot, or can I even not dip it into my soup bowl? What's the issue? So the Magen Avraham says, that's the same issue. That's the machlokas. The two days in Tosfos. Whether there's a concept midrabanan of mechzi kemevashel. Is there a limited isadrabanan against doing bishul in a kli sheni? That is the approach of the Magen Avraham. So we do it. We are lemaisa post kumsu. We are word of mechzi kemevashel. However, again, that is the approach of the Magen Avraham. Even though it's he takes a stand on between the machlokas and Tosfos. So he accepts the re against the second day in Tosfos and against the Rashba. However, Shechter points out that. When Tosfos already makes the point that mechzi kemevashel is limited to solid foods as opposed to mayim and shemen, and within solid foods, limited to non-tavlin. The Mishnah said beferish that there's no bishul b'kli sheni on tavlin. Tosfos said, well, maybe tavlin specifically because they're asoy lematik. So what does asoy lematik mean? So Rav Shechter and others mean that that's not the item that you're going to eat. That's not the item that you're going to eat. You have bay leaves, you put them in and to season the food, then you take them out. Others understand that it may be, even if you are going to eat it, but it's not the major ingredient. Maybe it's only Mexican vashel if it's the major ingredient. But at the very least, if you're not going to eat it at all, so then that's tavlin and there's no Mexican vashel. Mexican vashel is only on solid food, and on the solid food you're actually going to eat, maybe on the ikar solid food that you're going to eat. And that is very relevant to tea. Because tea leaves are, by both definitions, even by the more stringent, narrow definition of tavlin, aslamatek, you don't eat the tea leaves. You drink the water that was flavored by the tea leaves. So that is classic tavlin. Okay. So in terms of the Magen Avraham's concern, l'chora tea is we're safe. You can't put tea leaves into a kli rishon, but you can put them into kli sheni. Can you put tea leaves? Okay. Now, but there are many, many poskim. Rabbi Shechter is comfortable making tea in a kli sheni. Many poskim are not. Why? Primarily because of the second consideration. Remember, we had said there are two pushbacks on kli sheni and mevashel. We just spent time on the Tosas and Lamates, the Chiddush of the Ri, again against other Bali Tosas, against the Rashba, but accepted by the Magen Avraham. The Chiddush of the Ri, that there's a din, limited din of Mechzi, Kimavashan, and Kli Sheni. Not on liquids, and not on Salat Tavlin, but if it's the Machal itself, or the Iker Machal itself, then there's a din Zerabanan of Mechzi, Kimavashan. We are Machmir for this position of the Ri. Again, if you accidentally, someone did stick a Machal into a Kli Sheni, even though according to the Reed that was usser, we would not forbid the food b'dieved, because after all, there are Rishonim who don't accept this concern of Mechzi Kimavashel. Yeah, but the problem with tea really lies in the other issue. The other issue is one with which we began, that the Gemara says b'feirish, and beis, on the Mishnah of Kli Sheni and Imavashel, that you can put into the Kaira. The Gemara says, yeah, Tavlin you can put into the Kaira, but Melach may be different. And a deal about melach in particular. So that whatever the status of salt in particular is, but the Gemara seems to be developing the notion that there are foods that are more susceptible to actual bishul, not Mexican vash, alpipashas. That's actual bishul, and that's a concern of kale habishul. Maybe there are foods that lend themselves to bishul because they're more delicate. They could cook even in a kli sheni. Maybe there are foods that are like that. Then the question, though, is, well, which foods are kali habishul? So I think there are some nosei kelim. I believe the Taz is maybe among them. Got to double check. Who I told you before in Sif Hey, where the Mechaber Ramah have the discussion about you know, putting bread in a kli rishon versus bread in a kli sheni, that machlokas, even if I hold yesh bishul achar afiv, maybe I can put in a kli sheni, maybe not. So Magen Avraham said, and that's the issue of do you accept mechzi kimavashel or not? But others say, no. Forget mechzi kimavashel. The bread is kalei habishul. Bread cooks very, very easily. And I believe the Urayim himself sounds like that. Then some achronim are very, very broad with kali habishul. And the truth is, Urayim himself sounds like, you know, there may be a very long list of kali habishul. You're kali habishul until proven otherwise. Tavlin are clearly not kali habishul, but I believe the Taz and some other achronim are nimshach after Urayim to say almost everything is kali habishul until proven otherwise. So, but we alpi pashas, we do not assume that. The Mishnah Brura quotes from the Binyan Siyan, from Yaakov Etlinger, you can't make tea even a kli shlishi, because if it's kali habishul, mechzi kimavashel is probably limited to kli sheni. But kali habishul, as long as it's hot, the idea of kali habishul is as long as it's hot, it's a problem. Al pi pashtus, there are achronim who even for kali habishul differentiate between kli rishon and kli sheni, but al pi pashtus, one would not. Al pi pashtus, if it's a kali habishul, so as long as the water is above yatsal arisbo, doesn't matter if it's the kli sheni or kli shlishi, it's going to mevashel the kali habishul. So that's why many achronim are the most machmir opinion is to assume that you can't make tea in any type of hot water, and you have to prepare your tea before Shabbos. You make tea essence, hot tea concentrate, and then you keep that warm, and then if you keep that warm, you could add that, even if it's cold, you could probably add it to a kli sheni of water that we'll have to get to, which when we not today, when we get to Seifim Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, the question of Klirish and Klisheni as far as liquids go. And then there are those who assume no, tea is Kali Abishal. But maybe Kali Abishal only a problem in a cliche, not cliche. Then there are those who, like Rav Shechter, assume that tea is not Kali Abishal. It's Tavlin, so we're not worried about Mexican Vashal. Tosis was explicit that they even the Re only holds a Mexican Vashal on non Tavlin. This is tea is classic Tavlin. And then in terms of Kali Abishal. In terms of Kali Abishal. So here's the interesting thing. So some Achronim say, what do you mean? Clearly tea is Kali Abishal, because look, you put a tea bag in a Klisheni, and boom, it becomes tea. It doesn't just work in a Klisheni, it works in a Klisheni. By that argument, again, it lends strength to saying a Klishlishi as well. The problem is that might not be much of an indicator of anything. It's true that you can make tea in a klisheni or in a klishlishi. That doesn't mean that bishul is going on. Raya l'davar, you can also make tea in cold water. It takes a little longer. But you can cold brew tea. Say, you cold brew coffee. You put tea in a cup of cold water and put it aside for long enough, it'll become tea. Because what's happening when you make tea is not anything chemical. It's a physical process. It's the particles of the tea. Some of the loose particles of tea are dispersing, mixing into the water. So that's a physical process that has nothing to do with bishul. And again, Raya l'davar has nothing to do with bishul. Is that it can work in cold water too? The heat, the hot water makes it move much more quickly. But that's not bishul. And what's fascinating is I discovered that the Meiri himself. The Meiri understands that the Gemara itself made this point. Because Meiri wasn't talking about tea, he was talking about salt. And the Meiri of Mebez Mebez, when he talks about salt, he says, Machlokas Amaram, Machlokas Lashonos, whether it's Machlokas Amaram. He says, some who raise the question, how can you say that Melach is not Mizbashel B'Klisheni? You mix salt into hot water, even a Klisheni. And it dissolves right away. So, Raya Brua, Achush Makrish, clear empirical evidence that it is Mispashal in a Klisheni. Sounds familiar, no? And the Meiri says, guess what Meiri says? He says, that's Michui, that's dissolving. Creating a solution is not Bishal. Just because the salt dissolves very quickly in hot water doesn't mean that's bishul, and I believe he actually makes the same point, the same rise. He says you can dissolve salt in cold water too. It just dissolves more rapidly in hot water. And again, if you dig deeper, sometimes the maximum saturation, the saturation point may change based on temperature. But fundamentally, it's the same process in hot water and cold water. It just moves more quickly in hot water. But again, that's what temperature is. The molecules themselves of the water are moving more and more rapidly, and that's why the dispersal of the solutes and the solvent is going to happen more rapidly. The salt will spread more rapidly in hot water than cold water. The tea particles will spread more rapidly in hot water than cold water. But the Meiri makes a point about salt, and the same argument canon is made about tea. The fact that it dissolves is not an indication of bishul. Raya davar that you can have dissolving happen in cold water as well. Al pi pashtus, tea is not, certainly not a problem of Mexican Mavashal. The Magen Avraham's concern of Mexican, the Magen Avraham possibly like the Ri, but tea l'chora is immune to that, it's tavlon. In terms of tea being Kali Abishal, again, so there are at least three major approaches in poskim, whether tea is Kali Abishal and therefore it's usher in any kli, even kli shlishi, or tea is Kali Abishal, but Kali Abishal are only a problem of cliche, not a cliche. The Gemara never said beferish that salt, according to that day, that salt would be Mizbashal b'cliche. Or you say that tea is not Kali Abishal. Again, that relates to the broader question of, do you assume that all foods are Kali Abishal as proven otherwise? They say, no, Kali Abishal are rare items. Maybe eggs are Kali Abishal. Now, maybe there are a few things, a handful of things. Maybe bread is kali epishel. It's particularly soft and sound. It seems again that it's rooted in salt, and to an extent, it's also rooted in the discussion about the maliyah hayash and kli sasbanim in the Mishnah Kufa. Yeah, there are foods which are exceptionally susceptible to cooking. Okay, but that's the exception. That's not the rule. It's not that the vast majority of foods are kali epishel. The Arachar will say that. And again, that's the binyan siyan about the tea. That he's very worried about the tea. The Mishnah Berurah embraces that binyan siyan very much. Rav Shechter says, but pashtas not. Pashtas says kali abishal are a rarity. There's a third argument to be made about tea, in addition to the fact that it's not mechsi kimivashal because it's tavlin. It's not kali abishal al pi pashtas. A third point I have to point out is you have to figure out, is tea or tea leaves a meichel or not? Now, this goes back to the very beginning. He said the Rambam lays out three different definitions of bishel, depending on the item that's being misbashel. For food, it's hechsher l'achila deit. For water, it's just chimum. And then for non-food items, it's the Rambam understands both softening and hardening. The question is, do you consider tea leaves to be a meichel? No one actually eats it, but you say it's a meichel, it's governed by that. It's a beviter. You're not actually making a royal achila, you're just dispersing, dissolving the tea in the water. Or do you go even more fundamentally, you say maybe tea leaves aren't a meichel at all. So maybe the only way you could even begin to talk about bishel and tea leaves would be if you're melting them. You know, you're not dealing with it, it's going to incinerate before it melts. You're going to get to Mavir before you get to Bishol. So if you take that approach, then one could even consider putting the tea bags into a Kli Rishon. I don't think Lamasa, anyone's Mekel like that. But certainly there's plenty of room to assume, and Shechter does assume Lahalacha, that once you pour the hot water into the cup and the water is a klisheni, you can stick the tea bag in there without a problem. Okay, so we covered the core issues of klirish and klisheni. We covered the machlokas, hagos mordecha meri kurkus against Rashi and Tosus. Why is klisheni different than klirishon? We spoke at length about the two zones of exception, the melach and the kolis haspanim, the kali abishal, as well as the chiddush of the ri and daf lamites of mechzi kimivashal. We also touched on one of the major subtopics, which is irui, whether irui is kiklirishin, irui is kiklisheni, and maybe let's wrap up briefly with that. I mentioned before that this takes us from Sif Tes to Sif Yud. Shulchan Aruch says, Beperish Sif Yud, short Sif. You cannot put Tavan and Kaira and pour on them from a Kli Rishon. You cannot pour onto the Tavan from a Kli Rishon. What does that mean? That he is not accepting the position of the Rashbam. We said before, Tosus says, Machlok is the brothers, Rashbam and Hatam. I mentioned before that Tosus of Odezara, Daf Ayin Dalet, is a particularly clear and thorough presentation, in part because of the sequencing of the Gemaras is different than in Masechet Shabbos. Masechet Shabbos is very confusing. They start right away with the Sugyim Psachim, Ilogav, Tatagav. It's a little harder to follow. The Tosfos in Avodah Zarah is very neat, very step by step, and ends with Rabbeinu Bar, or actually midway through, after presenting the Rashbam and the Tam, Tosfos transitions to Rabbeinu Baruch. Rabbeinu Baruch, the author of the Sefer HaTrumah from the next generation of Baal Yatosis, he was two generations after Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam. He's a Talmud of one of the major Talmudim of the Ri. So it says that Rabbeinu Baruch brought a raya from Maseches Pesachim, where the Gemara, this is in the context of Iser Veheter, in the context of Blios, of Basar B'Chalav and Taruvus. The Gemara has a discussion, if I have hot falling onto cold, or cold falling onto hot, is that a hot situation or a cold situation? Right. Rabbi Baruch says, that's mamish's machlokas. I have hot falling onto cold. I have a hot soup falling onto a cold piece of meat. a hot milk ksufa, and it's a cold piece of meat. So is that going to be a blia situation or not going to be a blia situation? And we paskin ta'atogavar. We paskin that the stationary item on the bottom typically is the defining item, meaning that you're pouring hot stuff onto cold stuff. Chamotav tzonin. We treat that as basically a tzonin situation. However, the Gemara says it's not mevashal the whole thing, but it is mevashal kedei klipa. It's basically, we wouldn't say this is a hot situation, but it's a little bit hot. Ad demaker lebal. The gavar, the lower piece, meaning the stationary cold food is dominant, but in the course of it dominating the hot stuff falling on it, ad demaker le, while the cold piece of meat, let's say, is cooling off the hot soup falling on it, it could be bolei kedei klipa. So we're not worried about the flavor going all the way through the cold piece of meat, but you're going to have to shave off a peel. You have to peel off the outer kedei klipa, outer layer. There may have been bli into the first klipa, but the core of the meat is kosher. So Tosis point Rambam Baruch points out what it sounds like is a middle position, that there's bishul b'kedei klipa. Klirish is mevashal. Klisheni fundamentally is not mevashal unless you're dealing with kaliyah bishul. And kli irklirish is mevashal kedei klipa. It cooks the first layer. So now where does this leave me lamaisa? So the Shulchan Aruch said aser. We paskin yerdeya as is mevashal kedei klipa, and we assume that iri is there for what? So from a Bishul standpoint, from Bishul B'Shabbos standpoint, it doesn't really matter generally whether you're Mavashal Kedei Klipa or Mavashal Kulo. In a Yoredeya context, we're trying to figure out how deeply did the trefa flavor go. We're talking about Blios. So then how far did it travel matters. Am I throwing out the whole steak? Or am I just going to trim off the outer layer and the rest of it is fine? In a Shabbos perspective, though, how much is irrelevant? It's Aser. It's asur to mevashal the whole piece of raw meat. It's also asur to mevashal kedei klipa. So, if iru is mevashal kedei klipa, that for a Shabbos standpoint, that basically means iru is keklimishin. Iru is mevashal somewhat. So, somewhat is already asur. Somewhat is already asur. Bichlal, the fact that the Magen Avraham adopts the position of the Ri that mechzik and mevashal is a problem in Rabban and klisheni, means that a lot of the discussion of Kli Rishon versus Kli Sheni is less practically relevant in Hilchos Shabbos. It is fully relevant in Basa B'Chalav. There is a machlokas or Rishonim whether the same way Kli Sheni ain't a mevashel is also true that Kli Sheni ain't a mavliya, and we paskin that is correct. Rama paskin in multiple places in his first Chiluk Yerodeya that Kli Sheni ain't a mavliya. So if you accidentally, if I had a piece of beef jerky falls into my mug of coffee, if it's a klisheni, in other words, I brewed the tea, the coffee, and then I poured it into a mug, so the hot, steaming hot coffee with milk is a klisheni, and then beef jerky falls in, so I'm going to have to fish out the beef jerky, and there may be flavor from the beef jerky, so I may have to toss out the coffee because it may be mamish grease from the. I have to figure that out. Maybe mamish grease from the jerky in the coffee. But the mug, clean it off. It's fine because that was cliche. There's no bleas in the cliche. But chalav klirish and cliche is more relevant in Yoredeya than it is here in our Chaim Hilchos Shabbos, and that's particularly going to be true for Iroy. Because again, if you hold that Iroy is mevashal kedei klipa as you do. From a Hilchos Shabbos standpoint, that's almost always the same as just saying it's Kikli Rishon. However, there is one practical difference. Because the Taz in Sif Yud, in Sif Katan Tazayin, seems to say that we're worried about the possibilities of Mamash Ravashal Kedei Kulo. Mamash a full Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri held as Mamash Kikli Rishon. They were ready to kasher. Even Lahakel, they treated Iru like a Kli Rishon. Not Rabbeinu Baruch's in-between standpoint. The Magen Avraham says, no, because it's the Mevashal Kedei Klipa. And I think that's how we assume, that we're not worried about classic Rabbeinu Tam, we're following Rabbeinu Baruch, the in-between position. Again, usually it doesn't matter because whether you're Mevashel Kula, Mevashel Eklip, anyway it's going to be Aser, but I'll leave with one practical din. And that din is the following. That din is the following. Thinking about the Si'if Yud Gimel, with the Ketone Shalmayim, right, Shulchan quotes of the Gemara, you're allowed to put a Ketone Shalmayim into a Kli Sheni, but you cannot put it into a Kli Rishon. You cannot put it into a Kli Rishon. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa wants to know, how do you heat up, this is the Zlomaisa, you have a baby bottle. So let's say, either you're making formula by mixing powder with cold water, and now you want to warm it up because to give the baby cold water is not going to be pleasant for him or her, and they may not eat it. Or you have expressed milk that was stored in the fridge to keep it fresh, but now you want to feed it to the baby. But you got to warm it up. How are you going to warm it up? How are you going to warm up the formula? How are you going to warm up the milk? So you could put it into Kli Sheni, or the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa points out you could do here a Kli Rishon also. Why? Because he says, what do you have? You have a bottle, a plastic bottle, with liquid inside, formula, milk. So you're going to, again, as I said before, we assume that the Magen Avraham, Sivkat Lamed Beis, against the Mashmos of the Taz and Sivkat Tazayin, we're not worried about Rabbeinu Tam's Iruz Mamishki Kli Rishon Mavasha Kadei Kulo. We assume that Rabbeinu Baruch, Iruz Mavasha Kadei Klipa. Ah, so normally Hilchos Shabbos, who cares? It's also the Rosh Hashanah Klipa too. Yes, but Shmir Shabbos, I believe, quotes from Shlomo Zalman. He says, but here the first Klipa isn't food. What's the first Klipa? The bottle. So the bottle is a non-food item. So unless the water that you pour is hot enough to melt the bottle, which hopefully it's not, so there's not going to be vishal on the bottle. Nor was you have a vishal on the milk inside. But that this is only here, it's only Vashka de Klipa. By definition, all the milk is beyond the first Klipa because the entire Klipa plus is the bottle. So that's a situation where we would differentiate between Iri Kli Rishon versus Kli Rishon Mamish to pour hot water onto a bottle of cold liquid. Again, we're not worried about the liquid, we're not worried about Kali Abishal, and by liquid, we're not worried about Mexican Mavashal, because Mexican Mavashal is only if it's a solid food. And specifically non-tavlin, but if you mamash sticking into Kli Rishon, that would be absolute bishul. But once you're doing iri and it's in a bottle, that is heter gamur. Mitzvah. Next time, we're going to continue over the course of this week with the same Maram Kamos. They cover this broadly. A number of issues will Mitzvah look at next time. One major issue coming up is the question of scoopers and how you define is the ladle a Kli Sheni or is the ladle a Kli Rishon? That's very, very significant. And then the Sifim Yud Aleph Yud Beis are very concerned with the question of how Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni work in terms of liquid. We've been talking today about solids, but liquids work slightly differently, as we already touched upon, and that is important. And then beyond that, beyond Purim Yitz Hashem, a number of between Purim and Pesach, hopefully we'll have a chance to deal with a number of the smaller issues that come up in terms of yatza lettuce bone, in terms of the solid foods that fall apart, some of the other smaller important topics at the end of the sermon. Yeah.
How can Rashi learn?